This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. As planned, inshallah ta'ala, today we'll be going through the masail, the matters pertaining al-qadr, which is a very, very important matter, which is from the matters of our religion that a person, he has to believe in order to have al-iman. It is part of al-iman. Most of us have gone through the hadith Jibreel, also known as the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "And tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa liyumi al-akhir wa al-qadari khayrihi wa sharrih." That the iman, the six pillars of an iman, is that person, he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "And tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi," also the angels, "wa kutubihi," the books, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and also the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, and also to believe in the qadr, the good of it and also the bad of it. If a person doesn't believe in any of these matters, then this person leaves the fold of Islam. This person leaves the fold of Islam. A person's iman is not present if he doesn't believe in any of these matters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever disbelieves in al-Iman, then this person's actions will become fruitless. This person's action will become fruitless, and on Yawm al-Qiyamah he will be from the khasireen, those who are at major loss. So any matters of these matters that we just mentioned, the six pillars of al-Iman, if one doesn't believe in any of them, he leaves the fold of al-Islam. And it can also go under the ayat where it talks about juhud, negating, because it clearly comes in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states in the Quran about the qadr having a presence in our religion. Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu bi qadr. There's not a matter except that it is with the qadr. It has a qadr. Wa qaddarnahu taqdeera. Wa khalaqa kulla shay'in wa qaddarahu taqdeera. So all these ayat which talk about the qadr, it clearly comes in the Quran. So if a person now doesn't believe in the qadr, he falls under negating some verses and also some aspects in religion. So brothers, inshallah ta'ala, before I move on to it, I would just like to mention that these are the matters of the ghayb. These are the matters of the unseen. That the Bani Adam, the son of Adam, he doesn't have any ittila', he doesn't have any browsing to it, he's not able to see it, he's not able to feel it. Rather, they're from the matters that are from the unseen, and it's upon a person to believe in these matters. Surah Al-Baqarah, it talks about those that believe in the unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ والذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم بالآخرة هم يوقنون. نعم. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these people who believe in the unseen. Those that believe in the unseen, they establish the prayer, they also establish the zakat. نعم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. Few ayat after that, these people are upon guidance and they are from those who are successful. So it's a sign of success. It's a sign of success that a person, he believes in these matters and he has faith in all of these matters that are mentioned. So brothers, inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to now mention, inshallah ta'ala, the four main aspects of al-qadr. I shed some light on it last week. The four matters of al-qadr. Can anyone mention those that attended last week? The four matters of al-qadr that we spoke about in summarization. And today, inshallah ta'ala, I will go to in detail and I will try to explain it with many, many ayat, a hadith, how the Salaf understood these matters, and also matters where it relates to us directly.
matters where it relates to us directly, evil taking place in front of us, women dying, children dying, how do we handle these things? Do we say the same thing that Stephen Fry and his followers, they say that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was actually here, if there was a presence of Allah azza wa jal, then why is all of these things taking place? Why is he not stopping it? Na'am, all of this will become clear to us, some of the main shubahat, doubts, that revolve around these matters of qadar, which are very, very delicate. And I mentioned last week as well, that students of knowledge, when it comes to this chapter, they tend to what? Jump over it, or they tend to skip it. Why? Because of its difficulty, and also because it is very, very deep. Na'am, so inshallah ta'ala, by the end of this lesson, we hope to have understood this chapter in detail by also understanding the full extent of these matters. So Husnain, mention to me inshallah ta'ala the first matter of Al-Qadr. Ilm. The ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second matter was?
Kitaba.
That every single thing is written down. Na'am, the third thing? Brother?
Everything happens because Allah wills.
Na'am, the Mashi'ah of Allah Azza wa Jal. The fourth thing?
Allah has created everything, even the action of the creation.
Naam, jazakallah khair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything, even the action of the creation. Tayyib. So the first matter is al-ilm. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that which took place in the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that which takes place before it takes place, so that's the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that which is taking place. Knows that which is taking place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also knows that which is going to take place. And if something was going to take place, how this would take place. So hypothetically speaking, if something was going to take place, how this would take place. In the time of Abdullah ibn Umar, this matter, people negating the Qadr and not believing in the Qadr or playing around with the Mas'alatul Qadr, it started in the time of Abdullah ibn Umar. It started in the time of Abdullah ibn Umar. Yahya ibn Ma'mar and also Humayd ibn Abdurrahman al-Humayri, who were from the tremendous of the Tabi'een, they came out for Hajj. They said, Kharajna Hajjin or Mu'tamirin. Either it was for Hajj or Umrah. As it came in the narration in Sahih Muslim, Kharajna Hajjin wa Mu'tamirin. So they said to themselves, once we go out to Hajj, if we run into any of the Sahaba, we are going to ask them about this matter. So the first person they ran into was Abdullah ibn Umar. The first person they ran into was Abdullah ibn Umar. So they said to him, Ya ibn Umar, Inna unasan يزعمون أن الأمر أنف. Some people they claim that this عبارة or this phrase يزعمون أن الأمر أنف, they believe, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know that which takes place until after it takes place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know that I'm going to drop this cup until I actually drop it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have previous knowledge to it until it actually takes place. What I'm going to say in 5 minutes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know until I actually say it, or until the occurrence actually takes place. And what they said to him also was that these people, they claim to pursue knowledge. طلاب العلم. They were seeking knowledge. And at the same time, they claim what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know until the occurrence actually takes place. So Abdullah ibn Umar, what did he say? Tell these people, إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِنْهُمْ وَهُمْ بُرَاءٌ مِنِّي. Tell these people that I am free from them and they are free from me as well. And then he mentioned what? وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ أَنَّ لِأَحَدِكُمْ مِثْلَ أُحْدٍ ذَهَبًا. And then he swears by Allah that if any of them or any of you had a mountain of Uhud in gold. The mountain of Uhud is very, very big. For those that have ever seen it, it takes maybe 3-4 hours to climb. 3-4 hours to climb. And if we were to maybe convert that into gold, it would be maybe hundreds of billions of pounds in gold. If he was to now convert that mountain of Uhud into gold, it would approximately be that much in pounds. So ala kullin, what did he say? If any of you had a mountain of Uhud in gold, ثُمَّ أَنْفَقَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and he gave this in charity, ثُمَّ أَنْفَقَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, مَا قَبِلَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدَرِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't have accepted anything from him until he believes in the qadar. So if a person now is praying قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ, he is paying the sadaqat, billions and billions of pounds in sadaqah, and he fasts Siyamu Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, which is to fast one day and to break one day. He is performing the best form of ibadat. But his aqeedah is messed up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't accept anything from him. So that proves to us what? The importance of our aqeedah. Qadr is one aspect of our aqeedah. Earlier, what did we mention? Six pillars of al-aqeedah. The whole Quran, what? The majority of the Quran speaks about al-aqeedah. So how can one come today and tell us the aqeedah is not important? Or where is aqeedah written in the Quran? As some people have now claimed or began to mention to the people. This is one aspect. If a person now doesn't believe in this aspect of al-qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't accept anything from him. He's a kafir. And this is what the sahaba they see. And we mentioned the ayah before, وَمَا يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ. And whoever now disbelieves in an iman, this goes with every aspect of an iman. So these importance are very, very important. If a person, our brothers, pay attention here. If a person was asi, he was a zani, committing fornication, he has a girlfriend, he commits fornication with her. He steals, he kills. He does all the major sins. But at the same time, this person's aqeedah is sound. He doesn't have a messed up aqeedah. He believes in that which he needs to believe in. His tawheed is up to scratch. Then sooner or later, if this person goes into the fire, he's going to come out. Sooner or later, this person, because he has what? He has the correct belief. He has the correct aqeedah. That doesn't mean we all get complacent. We start going have, you know, girlfriends and we steal and we kill and we do the major sins. Rather, complacency is something that the Sahaba, they warned against altogether. The a'mal is from the iman. As we're going to come to study, inshallah ta'ala, that the actions, they go under the iman. But just to prove to you the importance of al-aqeedah, sooner or later this asi who's sinning, who has the major sins, sooner or later, he will come out the fire if he goes in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he goes, he forgives him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives anything except kufr and shirk. Someone who commits kufr or he commits shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives everything other than shirk. So there's still a chance that a person, what? He's either forgiven or he's punished, and sooner or later he's going to come out. At the same time, ikhwani, we don't want to get complacent. I repeat that again. We don't want a cloud on the top of our heads that there's even a chance that we are going to one touch the fire. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, النار التي توقدون جزء من سبعين جزء من نار جهنم. The fire that you kindle with, the fire that we have in our kitchens, the fire that we have on the barbecue. I'm not sure if any of you have ever touched the fire or accidentally fell into the fire, and how it actually feels. One time I accidentally pushed someone into the barbecue. It was an accident. For a whole week he was complaining about what? His burn. For a whole week. This is the fire in this dunya. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the fire you have in this dunya, juz'un min sab'ina juz'a. It is 1/70th of the fire of the akhirah. So if we now can't bear the fire in this dunya, then how on earth do we expect that we're going to even come close to bearing the fire in the akhirah? So we wouldn't want this cloud on the top of our heads. So the whole point is, Abdullah ibn Umar said what? A person, nothing would be accepted from him until he has the correct aqeedah. The correct aqeedah. To believe in the qadr and the masail al-qadr, and to believe in it in its correct manner. So the whole point is, why did I mention the story of Abdullah ibn Umar? About the Qadr, and that these people, they negated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew before it took place. So the past knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they negated it. And what's the proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that which is taking place? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, أَلَمْ تَرَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا يَكُونُ مِنْ نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ. And do you not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that which is in the heavens and also in the earth? That which is in the heavens and also what? In the earth. Never when there are three people speaking in secret, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fourth one. And when there's four people speaking in secret, the fifth person is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the fifth one is Allah azza wa jal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that's taking place. And also the future. And also the future, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows every single thing that happens in this universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Alimun bi kulli shay. Alimun bi kulli shay. Naam. So what's the proof now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that which never took place, but if it was going to take place, how this would take place? Hypothetically speaking, can anyone give me a proof from the Quran and the Sunnah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that which is going to take place, if it was going to take place? If something was going to take place, how this would take place? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran about the people of the fire. Those people of the fire. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ وُخِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ وَلَا نُكَذِّبُ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. There will be people on يوم القيامة. They're standing in what? In front of the fire. They will start becoming regretful. فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ وَلَا نُكَذِّبُ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا. If only we can go back. And we wouldn't deny the ayat, the verse that came to us. These people are wishing what? To go back. Are these people going to go back? And they've committed clear-cut kufr. They've denied the ayat. And they will say, وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we are going to be what? From the believers. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ بَدَى لَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُخْفُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا. Now it has become apparent to them that which they used to do. It's because when a person comes to Yawm al-Qiyamah, everything he used to do will be put in front of him. Allah then says, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا. And if they were to go back, they would go back to that which they left off doing. Are these people going to go back? وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا. And are they going to be put back? No, that's not something that's going to happen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what? وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ. They would go back to exactly to that which they were doing. So that shows you what? That if these people who are begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a second chance, that even if they were now to go back to this dunya, they would just carry on that which they used to do in the dunya. So that's something that is hypothetical. And even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. Is that example clear, brothers? So we mentioned four things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that which is going to take place. And if something was going to take place, how this would take place. And the last thing that I just explained, it is what? Explaining the fourth matter in regards to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. And also the story of Khidr that I'm going to be mentioning later as well, inshallah ta'ala. When Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam killed that boy, there's a story in Surah Al-Kahf. وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبُوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنِ فَقَشِينَ يُحِقُّهُمَا الطُّغْيَانُ وَكُفْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells about the boy whose parents were believers. Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam came and he killed that boy. Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, when he took Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he went and he killed that boy. Why did he kill him? There's a hadith that explains this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa man ghulam alladhi qatalahu khidr tubi'a kafiran wa law 'asha la arhaqa walidayhi tughyana wa kufra." This boy that Khidr alayhi salatu wasallam killed, he was from those that were going to what? Become kafir. Who's the only one that knows this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Khidr alayhi salatu wasallam doesn't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only revealing to him, وَمَا فَعَلْتُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. He's only revealing to Khidr alayhi salatu wasallam to go and kill that boy. He doesn't know why, but he kills him because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him. And that's why the ulama, they said, Khidr was a prophet. طيب, the prophet told us, وَلَوْ عَاشَ لَأَرْحَقَ أَبَوَيْهِ طُغْيَانَ وَكُفْرًا. Had that boy lived, he would have been ungrateful and he would have brought ingratitude to his parents. And he would have been ungrateful and he would have disbelieved in Allah Azza wa Jal. So the boy is dead now. The fact that if he was going to become this person, is that something that is going to take place? It's not something that's going to take place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows already if he was going to live, how this person would be. So is the hypothetical example clear? Ryan is clear, yeah? Huh? طيب. So that's the first matter, the ilm of Allah Azza wa Jal. The second matter, al-kitabah. Nothing takes place in this universe except that it is written down. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, إن الله كتب الخلائق والمقادير قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض بخمسين ألف سنة. The خلائق, the مقادير, everything has been preordained. Everything has been written down. Before the heavens and the earth were created by 50,000 years. So the car crash is going to happen. All that's happened, it was written down 50,000 years before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in another hadith, إِنَّ أَوَّلْ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى الْقَلَمْ أَيْ حِينَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى الْقَلَمْ كَمَا خَالَ شَخْصَانَ هَذِي الشَّيْخ. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the pen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to the pen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the pen and he spoke to him. He told him, "Uktub, write down." So the pen goes to Allah Azza wa Jal, "Wamadha uktub? What shall I write down?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, "Uktub ma huwa kahinun ila qiyam al-sa'ah." Write down every single occurrence that's going to take place until the day of judgment. So every single thing has been written down. Fajara ما هو كائن إلى قيام الساعة. So everything that's going to be taking place until the end of time is written down. In the Lawh al-Mahfud, the preserved tablet, it is all written down. So is that clear? We got the first one, al-ilm. Second one, every single thing that takes place in this universe is written down. The third thing, al-mashi'ah, that nothing takes place in this universe except by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Your Lord wills whatever He wants and He creates whatever He wants. And He chooses whatever He wants. He chooses that person is rich. He chooses that person has mulk, has a kingdom. He chooses that person to be a poor person. And it is all what? That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزُعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. And say to them, O Muhammad, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ, owns the kingdom. He gives whatever He wills. He gives the kingdom whoever He wills, and He takes it away from whoever He wills, and He greatens, gives izzah to whoever He wants, and He humiliates whoever He wants. So everything takes place by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And some of us might be thinking, why is all of these three things now important to that which is relevant to all of us? And why is it so important in our religion? And inshallah ta'ala, at the end of the lecture is going to become very, very clear as to why these matters are very, very important. And why many Muslims today who don't understand this, they are falling into what? Having doubts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or saying things like, why is my kid like this? And why is Fulana's kid like this? Why is he a salih? And why is my son a talih? Why is he righteous and why is he what? Disobedient. Why is my son a kafir and why is he a Muslim? So to run away from these things and to have the correct aqidah, what? It's important that we learn our religion. To have an understanding in our religion. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِخَيْرٍ فَقْهُ فِي الدِّينِ. This hadith has a manduq and also a mafhum. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was good for, He gives him an understanding in the religion. So the manduq is what? The direct meaning we get from this hadith, that if Allah was good for you, He gives you an understanding. And that which is also understood from it, the mafhum, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want any good from you, He doesn't give you any understanding. And that also shows what? The mafhum, the mashia of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the fourth matter. The fourth matter pertaining al-qadr, يعني, and also brothers, there's many, many ayat in the Quran. Many ayat in the Quran that talk about what? The mashia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many, many ayat. So the fourth matter. The fourth matter that is upon us to affirm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the khalq. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. That Allah has created everything. He has created everything and also what? Created the actions of the creation. So everything that the creation does, it has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'malun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you and also that which you do. طيب, we just mentioned now what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created what? Everything and also the action of the creation. Does that mean I am like a feather in the middle of the wind? What happens to a feather? It goes wherever the wind takes him. Is it correct now for me to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me and my actions and I don't have a choice? If I commit zina, I say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me, I am forced to do this. Like the Jabariyyah say, Ana majbur. I am forced to commit zina. I am forced to walk into that shop and steal the prawn cocktails, Walker's crisp. I am forced to do this. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu khalaqakum ma ta'malun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me, created everything, and also that which you do. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirms for the creation mashi'ah, a will. The creation also they have a will. The creation also have a will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. Whoever from amongst you wants to be upon the correct path, he can be on the correct path. So every single person has a Mashiach. And there's many, many other ayat like this as well. As for this kind of statement, huh? I am doing this because what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for me to do this. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created my actions, it is similar to the statement of the mushrikeen. What did they say? وَقَالُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَقْنَا وَلَا أَبَأْنَا وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. The mushrikeen, what did they say? If it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will, we and our forefathers, we wouldn't have committed shirk. So they blame the qadr. We're only committing shirk because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never willed, we wouldn't do this. So a person has what? He has a choice. He has a choice to what? Do whatever he wants. Or some of the examples they bring is what? The ulama they bring when these people, they claim that a person doesn't have a will, as if he's a dead person between the hands of one washing him. What happens to a dead person when he's being washed? You put his hand up, you drop it, his hand drops. You put his leg up to wash it, and he has no choice to do what? He hasn't got any choice to do anything. Why? Because he's dead. He's dead. He's a dead person. A dead person between the hands of a guy that's washing him. He's a dead person. He has absolutely no choice whatsoever. Is that clear? Brothers, is that clear? If you don't need me to stop, Naam, I can stop for a few moments, and anything that I just mentioned, I can clarify even more. Or inshallah ta'ala, if you have any questions, you can write it down if anything pops to your mind, and we can discuss that at the end, inshallah. So is that clear, Khwan? Huh? It's clear, yeah? طيب. Can a person now say, also blame the qadar, some other statements that we heard? Huh? It is decreed for me to be from the people of the fire. He's been committing so much zina. He steals, he looks at fawahish, he does fawahish. All his life he has been doing sin. And he loses hope altogether. He goes, khalas, my destination is clear to me. I've been doing sin all my life. I am heading towards what? The fire. Also, this kalam is kalamun jahil. It is a very, very ignorant statement. Because how does this person know that where he's ending up, where his destination is? Has he now seen the qadar? Or that which has been decreed for him? Has he now had any information regarding the Lawh al-Mahfuz of where his destination is going to be? Rather, the Prophet ﷺ tells us that a person, he might sin and sin and sin, and then at the end of his life, he does the a'mal as-salihin. He does the righteous deeds. And then he enters into the Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ says what? إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. A man, he keeps doing the actions of the people of the fire. حَتَّى مَا يَكُونَ بَيْنُهُ وَبَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ بَيْنَ النَّارِ إِلَى ذِرَاعٍ. Until between him and the fire is the length of an arm span. The length of what? The arm span. فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَيَسْبَقُهَا فَيَدْخُلُهَا. So he does what? The actions of the people of Jannah. And what happens then? He enters into the Jannah. So what does that show you? That a person, he might be sinning all his life, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him hidayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he what? Gives him hidayah. And then he does the actions of the people of the Jannah, and he enters into the Jannah. Is that clear? So how can a person now say, I am from the people of the fire, or I am from the people of the Jannah, whatever I am doing is enough for me? Rather, this is also what? Complacency. That doesn't mean a person says, okay, I'm going to chill all my life now, then inshallah ta'ala at the age of 60, huh? I'm going to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincere tawbah, and bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, I'm going to enter into the Jannah. Akhi, how do you know you're going to live? We might step out of this masjid and die. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِي بَيْنَ سِتِينَ وَسَبْعِينَ. The average lifespan of a person is between 60 and 70. وَقَلِيلٌ مَا يَتَجَاوزُ ذَلِكَ. And few are those that actually go past 60 or 70. And none of us know what's going to happen even in the next 5 minutes. We might lose breath, what? Sitting in this chair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say? إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدُهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَا لَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. Nobody knows that which he's going to earn tomorrow. Or nobody knows in which place he's going to die. So how can I say that, huh, I'm going to be going into the fire or etc.? It's kind of batil. It's a total incorrect statement.